You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Greetings and welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. I'm your host, Parisha, and my co-hosts are with me this week, as well as our guest, which is Rusty. And Rusty's wrote a book, this is Rusty Ritchie, by the way, who's wrote a book that actually has brought great humor to my life. And I'm looking forward to sharing with her when she actually says the kit and caboodle of it all is sacred as 1, 2, 3. So we're going to be discussing that with her. Right now, I want to bring forward my co-host, Rosemarie Heyer in Frankfurt, Germany. She's joining us today, and it's in the middle of the morning over there. So thank you for looking so bright and beautiful. And also, I want to thank Marianne Love, who's in Melbourne, Australia. And down under, Marianne is actually a therapist and works with many modalities of healing with her patients. And we have Geraldine Dalby-Ball, who's with us, that is actually an environmental engineer of some sort. She go on the website and check her out. I love what Geraldine does because she's working with what I hold very dear to my heart, and that's nature. And she definitely walks and talks her talk with that. So it's good to have you. And we also then have go over to Joyce Mullenhauer, who is in Kingman, Arizona. And Joyce is an RN and is actually joining us this week as well. Let's see, who have I left out, if anybody? No. Oh, I need Trina. Yeah, Trina. I don't see your face, so I'm not looking at you. And we have Trina Cooper from Denver, okay, Denver, Colorado. And Trina's actually an entrepreneur and teaches a lot of great things in her center and actually helps a great deal in the spiritual work that I do in my many organizations. So I'm very happy to have you all on board with me this week. And it's very much fun that we have a list. Well, I'm not even going to call her that because your name's on the thing is Elizabeth. We need to let people know that our author goes through two to three names. She likes to be called Rusty. Her birth name is Elizabeth Ritchie.
And her mother?
Yes.
Excuse me. Dusty. Rusty.
Oh, I'm Rusty.
You're Rusty.
Very good. Okay. This is Rusty. All right. So, and also that her medicine name, which she will explain all that to you, is Detsu. And we want to actually make sure that at this point you get in touch with her book. And her book is extraordinary. I think in all of my life work, especially because I walk the middle road between a lot of different beliefs, in particular, most of the, I'm sure people see me as a pagan. But I find my heart in Jesus's teachings as well as Buddhist teachings, and definitely my soul belongs to the Native American spirituality which I was raised in. So when I begin to work with religious groups and especially Christians, because of the strict fundamentalism that can actually take place amongst the Christian religions, I found that Dusty's, actually her book has become a lifesaver for me in so many circumstances. I needed to add some humor to the very thick part of what maybe I would be doing. So I would use her cartoons and everything that's in this wonderful book that she has. And she will tell you how to get this book because it's on Amazon. And I use a lot of this to actually get people laughing and working with it. But she has brought such light to the fact that scriptures, I love, because I teach this, I teach that we are as God is. And I love that on the very first couple of pages, she actually gives a quote here from the Bible. And it says, "I have said, you are gods. All of you are children of the Most High." And that comes from Psalm 82:16. Also in the front of the book, she puts another quote here from the prophet, Khalil Grimm's work, "Like a procession, you walk together towards your God self." I love that. Okay. And then she kind of quotes me down there, "You are chosen, lest you would not be here." And I can't think of how many millions of times I've said that. And trying to get that through. What we're going to do is actually let Dusty come on and share with us. The first question I'd have is like, why did you write this book? You know, basically share with us your background in Christianity. And actually then, you know, what prompted you to actually take it on and write this book? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I'm very excited and I'm complimented that you've invited me to be here because I love everything that you do, all of you, with the work you do here with the book club and every outside of the book club. It's just tremendous. Let's see. Well, I have to go back to my college years. I did have a very basic Christian fundamental kind of experience when during the Vietnam War era and the protest era and sending the young men off to war, I was disillusioned by my leaders and struggling to find where I fit in. Where what I could be doing to help my country or my society, the world. And so I kind of turned to religion. And I had a friend who was a Jesus freak, and I saw him, and we hung around together for a couple months, and I asked Jesus Christ, as they say, all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And I went through that, the motions of doing that, and it was a very, very profound impact on me. I was like, I was a changed person. I was awakened to love in my heart in a way that I'd never been awakened. And that was just the beginning. I was attending a heavy duty, competitive Ivy League school, and Jesus and the basic Christianity was just like not intelligent enough. I think that might be the word. They were really, really hard on me. Oh, you just, you know, people would dismiss me when I tried to talk to them about it. But I went on and I listened to them. I was a good listener. And for three years, and I finally decided I'd major in religion, and I took courses, and my friends were also interested in Eastern spirituality and also Christianity to some extent, because I had friends in that group too. And so I majored in religion. And then I came across, and I was still searching, no matter how much it seemed like I was always still curious about some other traditions and trying to find where I fit into it all. And I ran across Rudolf Steiner and Anthroposophy.
Yeah.
And he was quite unique in the sense, because of all the Christian teachings that I'd heard, up to that point, he embraced the concept of reincarnation. And that was like a breakthrough for me. That really filled in my questions about death, what happens after death, and do you really go to hell, and that sort of thing. And Rudolf Steiner wrote over 50 books in his lifetime and gave over 6,000 lectures. So I had plenty to read and write and look at. And so I had to write a thesis, and I wrote a thesis on an argument for an anthroposophical view of the cosmos, man, and Christ. And that was just the beginning. And then I had to kind of, after my academic career, I had to make a living and go back to more normal places, like my hometown. And then I got involved with my husband-to-be, and we went back to the land. And we lived 6 years in a root cellar without electricity and running water. And wow. We built a house while we were living in that root cellar. And this was, and what took us there was both of our love for nature. When we had started to talk to each other, my husband Larry, we found that we were drawn to nature and we wanted to live off the land. And that kind of, so we did that. We built a house. I had children, and that's a whole family story. But then I was not near Anthroposophist or Rudolf Steiner. I wasn't in a place where I could continue that study. But more and more, I started reading Native American books by Native American teachers. And at one point, I was reading one. It was titled Medicine Woman. And I'm like shaking, and I thought, I gotta find myself a medicine woman. I gotta find myself a medicine woman. And somebody told me, oh, I told them that I would tell people, I wanna find a medicine woman. And somebody had attended a conference where grandmother was going to speak or had spoken, and she was going to speak again. And I sought her out. And and the rest is history. And we've been associates for close to 15 years, or 20 years maybe, I lost count. And so then I started working with grandmother. And we, at one point, I went on what is called an intensive, and we were assigned the challenge of creating a life plan. And my life plan was to write, at least, to become a spiritual communicator and to write 3 books in my lifetime. So on my way home from that, we did that in Cherokee, North Carolina, and I was thinking about, well, what am I going to write about now? I have to write a book. And I remember riding in the car in the back seat, and I closed my eyes, and I saw a picture, and it was like a black picture. There was nothing in my sight. I saw nothing. But I heard a voice say, just a quiet little voice, it said, psst, psst. What was it? Here I am, I'm the still small voice. And from there, I only got, oh my gosh, I'm going to listen to that still small voice. That's what I'm going to do. And so that is how I got started. And that's in the book. My pictures of the, can you see that? There's the still small voice. It says, do you hear me? I'm over here. The still small voice. And so that's what got me. And I also thought that I knew, I was raising my children. I had 2 very young children. I was doing homeschooling, and I was reading books to them all the time. And like children's books with pictures. And I thought how wonderful those books are, because they've got pictures and illustrations. They're so simple. And I thought, that's what my book is going to be. It's going to be written for the children of God, and it's going to be simple with pictures. So that's what I did. I had a lot of things going in and out of my mind about spirituality, so many things. The book is what you say is, a lot of traditions mentioned, a mix of things. It's very eclectic. So it is what it is, and I'm happy with it.
Well, you've done excellent at describing and cultivating our interest in it. And like I said, most everything that you put through there, I think it's probably the easiest book you'll ever write, Elizabeth, because what you did is just actually take quotes and stuff and put your own thoughts into it. And it's really excellent. Like I said, I can only share with you the impact that it has had on the many, many thousands of people I've shared it with. And it's just really, it helps just lighten everybody up. And that quote that I gave at the beginning here, where it says, I have said, you are gods. All of you are children of the Most High. And I can't believe how many churches I have spoken to where everybody asks me again, where is that in the Bible? You know what I mean? They have not read that. So I feel that there's somewhere an almost unfairness about the beauty that Jesus has put into our world if we but listen to the true teaching of that. You know what I mean? And so some people will say that I'm very anti-Christian. No, I'm not. I'm anti-dogma. And I'm very, very much 100% in the direct words of any teacher and prophet. And so it's when we get into just talking damnation and sin that I find that I have to walk away from it, because I know a loving God and I know a loving Christ and I know the guidance that we were given. And I don't know how it is that you can go forward and actually teach and not deal with this particular quote, the Psalm 82:16. Because at this point, I mean, you know, as I was introduced to Christianity, because I was raised with my Cherokee family, and we did native spirituality. I mean, nature was everything, you know, everything had a consciousness and all of that. And so coming into some of this rigid fundamentalism, I just find it very confusing. So I would sit and I would hear certain things they'd say and it would catch me, you know. It was like, well, if they know that, why don't they know this? You know what I mean? So I would sit there and my grandmother would scold me sometimes because she would feel me being very critical. But it's like when we would read the New Testament and people would, I'd sit in an audience of people reading the New Testament. It's like all you're hearing is how to be and love, you know. It's like it just, everything kept telling me how of great spirit I am. And I could not, and still don't, because I still talk to a lot of Christian groups. I still don't know how they do not deal with this part of the Bible. And the other that Jesus said himself, as I am, you are, and greater yet you are to be. Okay. Meaning after we learn that teaching, we should be able to carry it forward even more into our modern world, that there's no outdated scripture. You know what I'm saying? And so I love how you've done this, beloved. You have actually just brought such an easy way for people to look at these scriptures. And while you are being, you are tantalizingly trying to wake them up, some of your impacts is actually pretty direct. So I'm sure you're hitting them right in the solar plexus. One of them is, sunny greetings, earthlings. Mind if I talk to you, my dearest grandchildren? So there's some sarcasm there. Totally, totally loving sarcasm. And then it says, you don't, great. I love you, baby. Whoa. This is so much. And like I said, this has gone on. And so my co-hosts, I'm sure, are eager to get in here and actually share some of what you've written and some of it that they have been really excited about. And I would like you to actually commit to coming on to the show with us over the next couple of weeks, where we are actually dealing with your book and adding to it, like what I just read. At what point of your life were you actually focusing on you are God's, all of you are children of the Most High? Especially if you studied fundamental Christianity, you know, you said you went to university, you did theology. Then you look at all the major houses of Christianity, the really profound notables out there. And it's always about sin and damnation and that we're going to hell. And where did you find so much beauty and humor to add to this pile? You know what I'm saying? And actually being able, as we move along, to just stay with us for the weeks that we're going to be looking at this and helping us see even greater insight as to why at certain points of your life and where you actually come up with this, okay? And I deeply appreciate that you've come. And I love you dearly, and I'm sure you know that.
I certainly do. Thank you. I'll be here. No doubt about it.
All right. Any of my co-hosts interested in actually beginning to be the ones to share at this point? Do you have anything, Geraldine, that you would like to actually bring forward from the book?
Absolutely. And in particular, it's wonderful to note how forward this is, given that the book was written in 2006. And right in the beginning, we've got references to black holes, references to the divine or the creation as coming from the void. And I'll just read from page 20. It starts with, forgive me, but it's true. I am the darkness. I am the inky blackness of the place behind your eyes. I am the velvety dark robe of midnight. I am ultraviolet energies and the stable expanse of space. I am the awesome mystery and the power of a black hole. I am the dark matter, the dark energy of which your advanced scientists speak. I am sweet, dark, rich loam of earth and the iridescence of a raven's wing. I am the great void. I am the king and queen of darkness. Even when I read that page, I feel it. Not just because it's got beautiful soil and a raven's wing, which is magnificent in there, but again, just noting I know it says, you know, it's of which the advanced scientists speak, but here we are today, more than a decade and a half later. We could say, why is this information about black holes, why is this information about everything being waves of energy with the potential to come into being a reality, why is that still not known broadly? Why is that not what's generally taught? So again, what I know about this book is that this may seem like a poetic page, which it is, but inside of that is a wisdom and a doorway that is saying, look towards the sciences because they give information about dark matter. And as we're working, well, when we say dark matter, we can say the void or dark holes. And current science and current meditation and current brain research is all showing the oneness between more of the quantum physics, which looks at this, and what we're looking at today. And you'll see, for example, Nassim Haramein, what he's talking about with black holes, and again, moving more to the spiritual aspect of it. So, I mean, I could go on as well, but I'm going to stop there because I'm sure everyone else has great things they'd like to share as well.
This is what's exciting, because when she wrote this, I was in the process, especially since she's been with me for better than 20 years, Elizabeth, if you check your time. What I love about that part that you're sharing, Geraldine, is definitely at the time that she joined with me, I was still in the process of not really being sure how to talk to people about the nothingness, because everybody was new age and everything was white light and, you know, all of that, okay? And it's like, okay, really the power's in the blackness, okay? And it was like, how do you ever get anybody to switch from the light and go and talk about the darkness or the blackness without being evil, you know? So I had to come at it a tender way, and I would speak to people about the fact of the void, you know, staying away from the word black, okay, the void, the emptiness, right? And actually getting people to be willing to come forward. And I would still be challenged by Christians and other people that would say, but black is evil. That's where the evil is. That's where the devil is. So this was extremely advanced as far as I'm concerned at the time of mine and your life together, Dusty, that you would actually be able to talk about the void and see that. So now that we're actually exploring meditations and going very deep into the what we would call the to experience the nothingness, wow, you were right on it at a perfect time. So I find that great, Geraldine, that you just decided to share that one. And like you're kind of ahead of Nassim, aren't you? You got it in there a little early.
I don't know about that.
Okay, let's go over and see at this point what we can, anything, Trina Cooper in Denver. Trina, did you have any particular page that you wanted to share?
I do. And for me, it jumped off right in the very beginning on the very first page where it said, the bottom line message of this book is as follows. When Christ, in the form of godlike, caring, brotherly, motherly, fatherly, sisterly love, finally lives in the hearts, minds, and will of men and women across the globe, the prophecy of the second coming will be fulfilled. And then also on page 9, she brought up that the Christ, the spirit of love, transcends any one religious doctrine. That's when we're born again. And the whole concept of Christ being brought up as a Christian and hearing about Jesus Christ my whole life, I really kind of resonated almost like Christ was a last name, not really being taught that Christ was an energy. Christ was a peace. It was an energetic quality that basically what came through Yahshua ben Joseph. And it's one that I started doing a little more research on, and there was a beautiful book that was called Reflections on the Christ. And I found some things in there that I really, really loved. The fact that the Christ energy is a basic evolutionary form within creation, that it's irresistible growth, irresistible expression of divinity. And I loved that. And whatever form it comes into on this planet, whenever it comes into matter, whether in the universe, that it's not going to be held prisoner by that form. It's going to like expand out. It's going to change things. And also when we take a look at the triangle with the mother and the father, the three sides, with the mother and the father, the third side, that three is the Christ. It's that expression of, it's that tension, it's that connection for relationship. It's the love, it's the divinity that comes out beyond that. So this piece, I just kept thinking about that and the Christ and the energies of the Christ. And she brought it beautifully out in the very, very beginning of the book. And if people really understood that piece, that when all of it comes out, when we allow the Christ to spring from us, how incredibly, incredibly beautiful the world could be. So it just grabbed me. That piece just grabbed me. And I love it that it's the point of her book.
Very good. Thank you. And when we come, when you actually get your book and you go to the first page, how Dusty actually starts out is she actually says the chosen. And with that, actually covering the fact that each and every one of us, when you determine that you do, you have the a divine seed of existence that brought you forward. Just as we often see in Christian scripture that Jesus is the chosen. You have to begin to relate to that again in the quote of where Jesus says, as I am, you are. So then we have to begin to entertain that each one of us are here of purpose and by destiny. Okay, destiny or divinity, whichever you want to see it. But we are here, and what we are here for is very important and purposeful, no matter what your walk in life is. I think the scriptures have taught the much work that I do in the homeless community is actually instilled from some of the impressions, not only from my Cherokee background, because no one ever suffered being homeless in my community, okay, but coming into mass society and seeing people sitting in doorways and people very lost on the streets. I mean, it was just almost intolerable for me, and especially the example again in scriptures where, you know, that you treat the least of the people that you're doing for me. And so always that's been at the heart of what I do, and looking at that. And again, you know, when we look at that, to say that we're chosen, and I've had people actually challenge me, well, if we're all chosen, what about the indigent people and the people that are lost and all of this and all this and that? And I said, that don't matter. You need to go back to your scriptures and actually see the acknowledgement that Jesus gave, an example of one laying in the ditch and actually being very much into alcohol or whatever, that we need to not judge that. We need to look at that and realize, however we may not understand, that person's working out something that they're here for. And that's when I actually embraced, as Elizabeth, you shared, that, you know, there's philosophies, Eastern philosophies here of reincarnation and everything. We're still exploring where we can feel confident in all of that and how it fits into, especially if you've been very, very indoctrinated with Christianity. And I think you've done a wonderful job on that. So I appreciate that very, very much. Okay, I'm going to go over to Marianne Love in Melbourne, Australia, in the down under there. How are you doing, young lady? And what have you looked at with this work? And what can
Hi there. I'm doing wonderfully, thank you. And I'm loving your book, Dusty. So thank you for following your inspiration to get it together. Some of the things that stood out for me was the story around how you came even onto the path in meeting the experience of love and feeling love in everything. And it just helped me reflect on some of my earlier experiences of what brought me into spirituality. And some of those experiences was feeling just such profound love, but not having an understanding in anything I'd been raised with to find a place to put that in my frameworks in the world. And I think the journey since then has been undoing some of the indoctrination from culture and Christianity and finding a beautiful place where all those philosophies fit together, and that, you know, I can understand it and we can understand how we are co-creators, and how we're all equal in that. And I liked on page 12 how you said, well, I quite like all the quotes, and I did share with you earlier that the quote around from that song is stuck in my head, which is, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, just a stranger on a bus trying to make his way home. Where you've actually said, Dusty, why doesn't someone just come out and say it? God is one of us. God is every one of us. There, I said it. And it's just exciting to feel that we can find that beauty within ourselves. And what stood out for me was when I found it in love, I never understood that it's actually in the darkness, in the nothingness, that we actually meet the expansiveness of who we are. And you're speaking to that very directly. And I think the studies we've learned along the way of quantum physics, as Geraldine shared, and the physics and the sciences around that is really helping clarify that. How God can be all of us, and yet we have an individuality within us as well. So thank you.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Great. I'm so complimented by you all. I don't know what to say.
Well, you said a lot. We're reading your book. Okay. All right, Joyce Mellenhauer in Kingman, Arizona. Joyce, what would you like to share?
Yes, I'm very excited reading this. And the fact that you pretty much are addressing in this whole book the age-old question that we all have, who am I? And what's involved with being who I am. So I'm so grateful that you shared about this, I'm over here, do you hear me? This still small voice. Because for me, I keep wanting to hear something very direct. And I think this is a bottom line for all of us. We're not going to necessarily hear it in black and white. We can hear it in all different shapes and forms, and those answers can come. So in this, in your book, you have done this amazing job. I like the fact you started off challenging people not to be making judgments about it, whether they're a Christian or a non-Christian, that you're inviting them to just ask and expect no less on the very first page, to withhold their judgments. So to me, that's an amazing invitation to start the tone of this book for people who could be immediately getting their backs up, immediately saying, well, I see it this way and I don't agree with you. And then the fact that the answers to the question, who am I, all through the first section here, you're telling us who I am. I'm the darkness, I'm the void, I'm the light, I'm everything. And that's just so incredible to get that message across to people. There is no lack. It doesn't matter who you are. You're part of that elephant, whether you're the ear or the foot or whatever. You have your piece to contribute, and you have addressed that in such an amazing way that even someone with a closed mind, I would hope there'd be a few cracks that would happen as they work through this. So that's what I'd like to share.
All right, thank you. Now let's go to Rosemary, way over there in Frankfurt, Germany. Rosemary, are you still awake?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Dusty, for this book. And what I like about it is that you used humor. And humor for me is a form of love. And the way you write things is just so funny. Like when you say that, as we have heard before, that there's darkness and it is darkness, God is darkness. You say, don't say no to that. Just say, oh, you know. And you go on saying that you have written it for the children of God. That's what you said in your introduction. And you are using the humor to come across with that. And that's so important. And I like that you are saying that we are not expecting that the second coming is really a reincarnation of Jesus. No, we are expecting that we all, as humanity, will actually be destined to divinity. So we are actually embracing the Christ consciousness as a form of love. And also, you're really making the bridges, as has said been many times before, you're making the bridges between different beliefs. And I like to quote from the first pages in page 9, where you say, sooner or later, we, the created, must come full circle and acknowledge the divine loving creator in ourselves and in all other things. It's an ancient truth that apparently must be spoken 100 million times or more because humans are so thick-headed. And you say that a lot of times in the book. We have to say it a million times. That is true. It is a truth that defies the barriers between Catholic and Protestant, Muslim and Jew, and so on. And it is as factual as any scientific fact. And I think that is really important in this book, that you are creating these bridges between all the different beliefs, because after all, there's one truth. We are destined to divinity. And another quote I like about you, and of course you're taking it right on, very courageously, you take on what has been, was what Grandmother Parish said, you take on that God is darkness. And that's right, you do it right in the beginning, very bold. Nowadays, we are meditating on darkness, we're talking about the vacuum, we're talking about the dark energy and the dark matter, but that book is from 2006, so you've really been very bold by taking on that right away. And then you are actually saying how you want us to really get it. And I love that quote too. You're saying, in any case, by the time I'm finished here, I want that spongy cauliflower substance behind your eye sockets, that is on page 28, to catch a glimpse of the blissful light of true knowledge. Ideally, I want you to be orgasmically aroused, downright titillated with the awesome passion of understanding the darkness comprehends the light. So this is just how the whole book is. If you're just starting to read it, she's combining humor and really ecstasy, actually, to describe something what we call darkness or the vacuum, the void, the nothingness. And we all know that it is not a nothingness. It is consciousness, universe's consciousness. And we call it the field. And in that field, we are in constant feedback loop with that. So that's what I want to say for right now.
Very, very good. Yes, I agree. We have actually one of the places you deal when you get further into the book too, Dusty, is you deal with the I am. And there's been so much, there's people who have actually made a particular branding with the I am, okay? And your presentation of that in this book is so pure and forward. I am simply is saying you have here in your book, I am simply is you saying I exist. And I have a deeper meaning to that, especially in all the areas that I work with in human life, okay, as well as animal life and everything else. And I go back again to the homeless. What I've watched in my years with family that I am calling homeless is how you won't look at them. People won't look into their eyes. People don't want to give them that thought that they exist. And the homeless talk about that. And one of the occasions where I took a lot of your books and was giving them away, I actually gave them one to a homeless lady called Emily, because when I met her and she was such a beautiful, she was kind of like the mother of a group of about 18 homeless people that kind of built a little community to protect each other and everything. And she actually shared with me that I am the first person in her life, and I'm talking about a woman in her late 50s, that had ever looked into her eyes and acknowledged that she existed. Mm. And I think your point on this is so powerful, that I am, when we say I am, we're saying I exist. And as I exist, so does God exist through me. And I think that this is so powerful how you've done that. It actually brought all of that back when I was reading that, just how impactful that was to me. So I make sure that with every homeless person I meet, because they'll lower their eyes, I simply will keep looking at them till they look at me, and I look at them with a smile, not an over smile, just a pleasant one. And I watch how at first they'll lock into me looking with them, and then they'll look away. And I tell them, I just want you to know I will remember you forever and that I am happy you're here in my world. And they don't know how to handle that. and to actually come back, like I said, when I came back around like a month or two later, she had shared this book, and you should have heard all these people quoting you. So it was so exciting. And they, each of them had asked for, when I saw her book, I was mortified because there were pages missing and there was pages that were torn, you know what I mean? And I said, what happened? And she goes, well, there's some people that just wanted to own a piece of it, you know? She said, I let them take that out, you know, but they were walking around with that. So, I mean, you have been made a very, very popular writer, probably just not with the best group that could actually give you the notoriety, okay? But you are making a distance, a great distance of life to them, because they actually have wonderful conversations with me about that they exist and why they're existing. And most of them are bewildered that they are homeless. They don't know how they got there. And your book has given them some kind of peace that, even not knowing that, they understand they have purpose. So you've done a great spiritual work, and I appreciate it. Okay, so do we have any of you that want to add some other things in the book that you've read? Because we've got about 15 more minutes to actually work.
Yes, this is Geraldine in Sydney, Australia. Another part is really, and again, it was written in 2006, but humanity is ready to understand the ineffable. And it's wonderful that it's got the definition of what that is, because it's the word, and the book includes the Webster's Dictionary, but it's when something could be overwhelming or too sacred. And looking back on the history that I chose to come through as a being in this life, I chose again the start in the Catholic line, of which I then traveled and saw so much of a broader world and happiness from many, many names of what one would call their spiritual paths. So I appreciate that. But in terms of this paragraph, humanity is ready. And even more so this, you know, decade and a half later with what physics is showing. But right now in this time, I think because people who I'm hearing from who've gone inside at the moment as part of COVID and having a change of behavior, they're starting to look and say, what is really important to me? What makes me happy? Is it time with family? Is it that the job is meaningful to me? Have I just been on a treadmill? So they do say that, you know, people wait to change when the pain of change is less than the pain of the current situation. But I really feel this is the moment in our many eons of life, that we don't have to wait for it to get so painful to change. And that this this interruption that we had gives us all the opportunity to look again and to have a look at this, which has seemed overwhelming or seemed too sacred, that it's now within our, what we may call a religious institution. We know that it's us and Creator, and we are Creator. It doesn't have to be through a middle person. We can appreciate that there are middle people, as we may call them, like one would go for a bushwalk into a national park somewhere where you may not know the way. You can have a person there who's alongside of you, who's done the steps prior and makes your path and your journey easier. It's still your journey in that natural area. It's still your journey, allowing your own creativity and your own divineness to come out, and divinity is talked about a lot in the book. So I really like that. Humanity is ready to understand what may have seemed in the past overwhelming or too sacred.
Very good. Very, very good. And I can validate that we've had quantum physics available to the public and to the mass for over 120 years. So you have to ask, and everything that I see in your book, Dusty, actually is speaking right out of the sciences, what I call the spiritual sciences, everything validating our existence as God is and being part of the one that is in all things. Okay, when we look at that and the validation of that, this has been available for 120 years. Yeah, we can talk about you doing it in 2006, which is definitely not quite what we would be seeing at that time, okay? But actually just think how our lives would be if this had already been known to us, that we could actually be validated through all of our researches and our scientists that we are as God is. And that we, how you know, I question people and ask them, so knowing that as God is, how would you do it different? How do you feel you're actually being the example of that? And if we just all worked at that, you know, then how much different we would have in the world. This whole COVID-19 virus thing has made the world stop for a moment and rethink a whole lot of life in the generations before us. So nothing will move forward the same as it was. All of the information that's coming out and the fact, I love it because all of the techno people tell me how active the internet is now. Just people researching things they never would have researched before because they didn't take the time. So a lot of the information, like what's at the base of what you've wrote, is actually people seeking to know those answers and actually bringing us to a greater picture. Everything that we can possibly do to help people not feel separate, to actually help us to know we are part of the oneness that is all things, will actually bring us a greater world and greater yet for our children. So yes, that's really, really very, very powerful. Do any of you have anything else you want to kind of sum up for here at the end of the program? I see Joyce, your hand is up. Joyce, did you have something you wanted to add?
I'm muted here. Okay, good. Yes, I know this has been touched on, but I think it's just really critical that the way you have approached the reader, the tone that you have approached the reader in, has been so optimistic and positive all along. And then on page 31, you say, you can say no at the end of this book if you want, but if you are patient, all will become clear. So you kind of made this very affirmative statement. And I think people find a lot of courage and faith in that, because it's very easy to stay stuck and saying, I don't understand this, doesn't make sense to me, I'll never understand it, all that negative stuff. You're not really even allowing that. You're inviting people to just hang in, and maybe the light will be there for them at the end of it. So I appreciate that.
I do too. Very good. Anyone else want to make some closing statements here before we wrap it up?
Yeah, this is Rosemary. I just want to say, you quoting in the beginning pages, that we all have a choice. And we have a choice to give love or not to give love. But at the end, we will all end up in divinity. And I think that you making that point, we have a choice what we are going to be and where we're going to end up. But at the end, we all end up in divinity.
Very, very good. All right. Anybody else? How about Trina and then?
Yeah, this is Trina. The one point that I love that you make, and again, your humor is just fabulous. You made the point first is that God is every one of us. And, you know, Jesus tried to tell everybody that. And Jesus, they said blasphemy. And he was telling the truth. And that's what's amazing. And on page 30, you said, I am spirit divine. I am God. And indeed, I am absolutely, positively every itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, as well as all the known and unknown universes, galaxies, astral planes, and dimensions. I am the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees, and the moon up above, and I am love. And I just love the way you wrote that, because if we can change our perception of God coming out of us and expressing out of us, and that we really are God, then, and more people, if more people in the world started thinking that way, it would change the world. So I'm really grateful to you for putting these words on paper.
Very good. Marianne Love, how about down there? How about Melbourne? You got something you want to add?
Yeah, I wanted to add that I really related to what you said on page 44, which was the universe is in my being, my being is in the universe. All things, substance, material, dimensions, energies, form, shape, phenomena, events, and kitchen sinks. are an emanation of me, therefore they are me. And an emanation is something that comes from a source, and I'm the source of all that is. Most empathetically, all things that exist are composed of me. And I really found that, you know, quite succinct in our understanding of how everything can be of an original source and how it manifests here as all things.
That's very good. Thank you. Anybody else have something you want to say at this point? Share? I think you all had something to add. I would like to turn it back to Dusty. And Dusty, why don't you tell us and share with our listeners exactly how to get in touch with you and where to go actually shop and find your book. That would help. And do you have a website that they can check out?
Yes, I have a website, but it's not particularly up to date. But it's wellnessandspirituality.net. And I'll give you an email if you'd like to have a conversation. That's what I think that, speaking of the COVID, and what's wonderful that I found that is I'm talking to my neighbors much more than I ever did before. And they're from different walks of life, but we're finally having conversations. And I walk through the neighborhood, and people are out on the streets walking. The children are out there. And except the things you see are on the news, it seems like people aren't talking to each other. They're looking past each other. Yeah. So I think there's a great, there's certainly reason to be optimistic, because by necessity, we're going to have to start discovering what we have in common, and to have conversation about spirituality in particular is like a great dream of mine. You know, to discover, it's a discovery. Here we are in this wonderful adventure called life on a planet of, it's a miracle. And we could be having such a wonderful time if we just somehow figured it all out a little bit more than we haven't got it yet, you know.
Can you give the email for people?
The email, Dusty Dancer. Dusty, D-U-S-T-Y, Dancer, as in dancer. No, doesn't, not capital sensitive. And at FrontierNet. No. Frontier.com. Frontier.com.
Do it again.
Dusty Dancer at Frontier.com.
All right, very good.
And they can get the book on Amazon. But what you really want to get is my new book that's going to be on an ebook. On Amazon, it's going to be coming out, and you can make a pre-order, and it's going to be coming up brand new, revised, and addition, and more information, and so that will be coming out, but you can pre-order and on Amazon, because it's there, the book is there on Amazon.
And the book is called The Whole Kit and Caboodle is As Sacred as 1, 2, 3, and that would be Dusty Ritchie. So we hope that you'll go and check it out and get on it and follow with us next week. There's no way in all that we're doing, especially because we cover books, this is a book club, right? That you really need to have your own book so that you can actually follow, because she's made this so easy. I find it one of the easiest books to actually get young people from 10 to 21 to read this book, because she makes a lot of what she does, as she showed you, look like cartoons, okay? And so it's just easy. You don't feel, if you only read a couple of pages, that you've really stopped in the middle of anything, because each thing that she writes, it's complete in itself. And I'm going to hold this up, so I hope that you can actually get a little bit more of how it looks, okay? And that you would, her book is just full of it. Like I said, most people that I give it to have actually chose their favorite ones and taken pictures of it. I've walked into people's houses and actually seen some of your stuff on the wall in one of those paper covers, because they want it to remind themselves. So you've done a lot more than you actually have given yourself credit for. And I'm very happy to actually have you on our book club. And
thank you.
See you. So we're going to kind of close this up right now.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, you can.
the book says it has my medicine name on it, and it's on Amazon. It's Dutsu. That's where you'll find it. It's not, you won't see the name Elizabeth Ritchie or Dusty. You'll see it's pronounced two and trois. It looks like Dutsu. That's what you'll find on Amazon.
Why don't you tell them the meaning? And you'd share the
two and trois. Two and trois is spring frog. It means spring frog. And if you think how the spring frogs, there are different types of frogs. There's the frogs that live in the spring, where the water, where water's coming down off the mountain. So it distinguishes, grandmother told me this, actually, grandmother allowed me to, enabled me to know my medicine name. And she said that there are frogs that they could put when they were in living in Cherokee, when she was living with her grandmother, they could go on a walk. And if they found particular types of frogs in the spring, they would know that that spring was safe to drink from. So it, that frog, kind of frog is able to test for purity, so to speak.
Yes.
And then this other kind of frog, one of the other kinds, is a spring peeper who announces the great rebirth of nature in the springtime. And they sing in the waters. Like they sing, two and twa, two and twa, two and twa. And that's what the name is. That's how the name is pronounced. Two and trois, actually. It doesn't look that way, but. So that's how I.
It's also pronounced, though, in the our dialect, du trois. Yeah. Dutsu.
Dutsu, too? Okay.
You'll actually have some of the old ones actually call you Dutsu. Okay, because that actually speaks of the frog that is in the water, the ones that gives us the pure water to drink. So we appreciate that, sharing that. So it's been fun, very much fun. We look forward to catching you again next week, and we will be back to our listening audience. We appreciate every minute you've given us, and you will have a delightful, delightful experience with Dusty's book, and we hope to you'll follow along with us next week. Again, this book is available on Amazon. Everyone have a great week and make sure that you're taking care and caution to be safe. All right. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.